Hi, I'm Kyle, and on episode 480 of the MWA podcast, Sean, Brian, and myself are asking William Boyle the five questions. And if you haven't already, be sure to check out Bill's interview on episode 479. So welcome back to the show, Bill.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be here, guys.
So before we move on to the five questions, who do we have to thank this week for a Patreon shout out?
Yeah, you know, we always like to give a big thanks to our Patreon supporters. Today, we're giving that big thank you shout out to Kevin McMahon. Kevin, thank you for your support, sir. And if you, dear listener, would like to support us like Kevin does, you can go to patreon.com/MWA podcast and support us there.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, sir. Kevin.
Yes.
So let's move on to the five questions. So, Bill, first up, what's your favorite tool? And by the way, we do have a limit of 23 favorite tools. So,
23. Okay. Well, I was going to ask if I could have more than one.
Yes. Yes. You can have more than one.
Oh, my fingers are warming up. Go ahead.
You know, I'm a chair maker and I've been doing this a while. And I try to learn from other people that are using cool tools, you know, that are helping them. And one of them I already talked about in the other episode, and that's these tools I got from your company, Kyle. All of these jigs that I know about that can help me in chair making. And one of the things that has helped me with these is not only the drilling the leg mortise, but also I got the reamer set up. Who is that?
Sean Murphy.
Sean Murphy. I got his reamer. And I was having a little trouble with it with the ash, but I just didn't have it sharp enough. But I was able to get the ash done on some of those to help me drill, you know, to ream the leg holes and everything.
Yeah.
But now, I've been using this and using your method with doing it underneath the chair for not only drilling the holes, but also reaming it from underneath. You know, and that's helped me. It's just an enjoyable feeling. I mean, just to go right along when I got to do it, it's so easy compared to what I was doing before.
Yeah. And it's so much quicker too. Yeah. And a hint on the hardwoods, and I got this from Blake Laurie, who was using Sean's reamer on, you know, the 100 chair order he had, and he was doing them in ash, and he used the technique where you basically have half water, half denatured alcohol, and a little squirt bottle, and you squirt that into the hole.
I didn't try that, but it's been working out great. And then the stretcher drilling guides and all that. I mean, I was having a lot of trouble like doing the point and shoot method, and then having some torque on the drill bit grabbing. And it was just stressful, kind of, even just drilling some of the stretchers with that method. And you put this thing together that you've got, and it's so machined. It's just so, just as long as I got the brad point, you know, up to high speed before it enters the wood, it's just, that's all my job is pretty much to do. And so it makes it a lot easier. So that's got to be up there. And so it's a game changer for me, you know, to have all of your jigs.
I appreciate that.
Yep. And so that's one. And I do have several. I don't have 23, but I guess the next thing is I have these two tools from Bar Tool. Is their Scorp is the first one.
Yep. I have one of those too. And it looks like you have the David Duyard.
Yep. You mentioned him, his leather covers. I think but anyway, I have, you know, other Scorps, but when I have a student, they want to use this one and I don't want to give it up. So I ordered another one from another maker that's coming next year. You know, some guy in Australia I heard about. Gloria had bought one from, so I'm looking forward to getting his.
I'm sure.
He's got a short wait list.
long lead time, short wait list.
Yeah. But anyway, and then the other one is the Bar Chair Makers Draw Knife.
Oh, yeah. That's the one that it's made on Curtis's kind of input. Yes.
Yeah, this one. And he's got two, though. I mean, it was real weird. He's got another one. I wanted another one just like this with the flat bevel, a regular bevel. Mm-hmm. And he sent me one, this last one I ordered from Bar. He had ground it down, and it's got a very short bevel on it. but it looked real weird the way he did it. I actually thought that, you know, he had somebody do it that wasn't making them properly. So I called him on it and everything. He says, no, that was Curtis was wanting to have like a shorter bevel. And it does come into play with some of the tight curves that we got to make in chairs. But I love the bar tools. I just absolutely love them. So I give a shout out to them.
Yeah. They have some interesting steel they use. I don't know what kind of steel they use or who they get it from, but it holds an edge and it's easy to sharpen.
Yeah. And speaking of sharpening, I use Allen Lacer's little diamond plate for sharpening everything. I don't know if you guys have seen these.
I've not.
So he's a Turner guy, right?
Allen Lacer woodworking.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a wood turner and instructor at one of the schools and everything. But these are $100, and I would like to have another one. I mean, they're absolutely awesome. There's a lot of weight to this thing.
Yeah, it's diamond.
It's diamond, and it's
what, like about 2 by 5 inches, 2 inches by 5 inches,
about 2 by maybe 4.
Okay.
Something like that.
Is it the same grid on both sides?
Yeah, grid on both sides, and. Okay. What I love about it is, you know, I can just sit there and just tune this thing up real quick, you know, and unplug as I'm going, you know, with this. Yeah. And, you know, you can use the little paddles and things like that and they work, but this has got some weight on it.
Yeah. I'm tempted by the Pete's draw sharp for sharpening, you know, the draw knives, but if that is that kind of like a freehand version of it? You know, and stable and weight.
Yeah, this is. I mean, I don't know. I've seen that thing, but I mean, you made a point of with us woodworkers. It's like, can we get sharp? You know, I mean.
Oh sure. Yeah,
it's a chase. Spending sharpening something, the better. Which I don't always quick enough, but this thing helped me a lot. This little thing. So that's one of my favorites.
Oh, that's slick.
The other ones, and I think I only got a couple more, but I was lucky enough to get these two Travishers.
Oh.
And I don't know if you guys recognize what these, and I know the listeners can't see them.
Yeah, are those Claire's?
These are Claire Minahan's Travishers, and I have two of them, both radiuses. And how I ended up getting these, I can't believe how fortunate I was, because I had hired a professional Windsor chair maker to come into my shop for an extended weekend to help train me. His name is Dan Monsees. I don't know if you guys have ever heard about him, but Windsor Chairs by Dan. And anyhow, I hired him. I flew him in to the shop, and I'm like, hey, I need help getting me on some of the processes to be better, you know, so I'm not as frustrated in some of it. And so he came in here for 4 days, I think it was, and he brought these in with him. You know, he was showing me we're doing all the processes, carving seats, riving, and, you know, whittling spindles and everything else, just everything, just helping me get to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And so he brought these, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, these are awesome. I got to have one. You know, where'd you get them? And he says, Claire, you know, and he said that he had gave her or exchanged, I think it's a curly maple log, and she made these two for him.
Mm.
Well, anyway, life changed for him, and he decided to kind of pull out of chair making, I guess, or minimize it. And I ended up purchasing these two for him from him. And if you ever look into buying one from Claire, they're over $500, $580 or something
a piece,
that.
Yeah.
Maybe a year and a half weight.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, and I was on the list. I was on the list. And I had to tell her I ended up getting.
I got them from other sources.
But so that's it. And of course, a lot of your guys have probably talked to you about the spokeshaves from Lee Nielsen's. That's a workhorse in my shop.
Mm-hmm.
I have both of those. And then I also have this little cigar type shave. It's a round one.
Gordon ones.
Yeah. HNT Gordon.
Yeah.
And so you can use it as a scraper or a shave. And so this has come in handy a lot with, you know, here and there. So that's it. That's my list.
are you sure?
Of course, I could probably get to the 23, but
That's a pretty good list. You know, no mention of the lathe. Yeah. I mean, there's a couple other things in there, but pretty much that's the chairmaker's toolkit right there.
That's great. Well, thank you. I appreciate putting me on the list. I'm blushing as I speak. So anyway.
All right, Bill. Question number two. Who has influenced you the most?
Well, in my woodworking, and I've talked about it a little bit in the other episode, but it's by far Curtis Buchanan.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Jonesboro, Tennessee, and a lot of listeners may know him. But he, to me, what he has put out there on the internet and YouTube, and I have taken classes from him over the internet, like during COVID. You know, he stopped actually taking in-person classes. You know, he, I think, was trying to finish up some of the responsibilities he had when he had to cancel classes with COVID. But I was able, fortunate enough to be able to take in, not in person, but over the internet classes. But anyway, just what he has put out there for people that want to do this, you know, to learn from him, to me has been priceless. And I have contributed on his website, you know, and different things like that, making contributions, just because I just feel so fortunate, you know, to have learned from him. And not only that, I purchased so many of his chair plans, you know, because I'm younger than he is, and I don't know if he's going to stop selling them if he passes away, you know, all those kind of fears, you know, and I don't know him or his family, so, or if his wife would, you know, start keep selling them or somebody else would. But anyhow, he's just been, you know, responds on emails, you know, touch base with him, just so responsive and ask him questions and just so giving of a person, and a person that I want to emulate, not just chair making, but as an individual.
He's phenomenal. We had him on a couple of years ago, and he was great. And what really upsets me is with Curtis is we had a great interview and stuff, but the day before he goes, well, I'm going to be using, I think his daughter's computer or somebody or somebody's computer. And he goes, can we have a call beforehand just to make sure everything works? And I said, sure, not a problem. So we had a call the day before just to make sure everything works. And we were talking for about an hour and a half. And it's like, man, I wish I should have recorded that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Talking about everything. But yeah, he is a great guy, great individual. And yeah, he's someone to emulate, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
All right. So next question, number three. Mm-hmm. What is your woodworking white whale? And that means the one thing that you haven't made but always wanted to.
You know, Sean, this is a tough question for me. I was looking at the questions that were on the podcast.
Obviously, because you're so accomplished and you've done everything you wanted to. Go on,
no, Sean. No, it's not that. I don't know how to describe it because I do have something in mind.
Okay.
It's just that I guess I would need some help or some inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess what it is, it's I want to make something, I don't know if it's a casework piece, or something like fine furniture for my home, you know, for my house. I don't know if it would be an entertainment center or sideboard or something that's, you know, I see so many people doing these casework or fine furniture for their home or pieces that I would love to be able to make. And I have not made, I mean, I've made a table, the table that we have, you know, mm-hmm. I put that together because we needed one, you know, and I thought for a while I was going to be a table maker, but I'm glad I didn't because those things are heavy and just, and I've done furniture, you know, end tables and coffee tables and different things like that, but nothing like where I'm just like seeing some of these guys on Instagram or people that don't do chairs, they build fine furniture. I want to be able to do something like that for my home.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Admirable for sure. Like it's, you know, you're obviously a fine crafter and you've made things out of need and you want to make something that you want to make. Like, I get it. Like completely. Like that's like you've made tables and chairs and other things, but like want to design that one thing that kind of imparts your personality into it and is in your house for use and observance.
Right. That's right. That's what I want. I don't know what it is.
That's probably might be the purest answer to that, because it's not defined. It's just out there.
Yeah. The one thing I made for our house, and I made a bunch of stuff for our house. I was doing all kinds of casework before I got into chair making. But the one thing my wife likes the best is I made a little wall hanging cabinet that's actually a jewelry box for her. And that's the one thing that she likes more than anything else that I've made, which includes a Nakashima couch. And
I've sat on that couch.
Yeah. And all kinds of stuff that I thought, oh, this is much better than the jewelry box. But I did put a lot of time and effort in the jewelry box. So, but it's a wall hanging cabinet jewelry box type thing that she did. But the thing you're going to find is going, what's with all these 90 degree angles here? You know?
I don't know. I don't have to have a saw stop for that, do I?
I hope not. Yeah, you should be able to get by. You can do it on the bandsaw. Not a problem. But anyway, well, moving on to question number four.
Yeah. So, Bill, question four is, what is your biggest stumbling block?
Well, I mean, that was another hard one for me, but I guess what I came up with for a stumbling block, I mean, people that know about chair making or know about making chairs or maybe making a lot of things, and I know about making chairs, it takes an incredible amount of time and patience to be able to get through. I mean, you're not going to build a Windsor chair from Greenwood and everything else quickly, you know, and right. And things that are worthwhile take time, you know. And so my biggest thing is I have so many chairs in my brain that I want to be able to make that I haven't made, that I want to make, you know, that I just don't have the time, you know, to be able to do it quickly. You know, it's on the list, you know, but I'm booked now through May this year.
Next year.
Next year, wow. Classes and orders.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to get to the list. Like I had to put in 1 month just so we could put some decking on our deck, you know. So, but that's, I guess, one thing that I've learned is that, you know, I have the ability to do that. I don't want to like oversell my time, but I want to be able to make more things. Like I want to be able to make one of those conversational armchairs. Chairs. It's like a continuous arm. I want to be able to make one of those. You know, I think those are awesome. And I've seen some makers making those, and that's been on my list. You know, I guess that's a white whale too, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trying to get to that. And I also saw on Antique Roadshow a child rocker recently. It was a double child rocker. You're facing each other. It's like a water. Two child rockers, and they
have that's cool. Feet,
you know, where they could sit on facing one another. You know, and it's and I want to do one like that, like a continuous arm style, something like
that. Oh, that'd be cool.
That'd be neat.
I don't have the time to do it like now. I'd love to be able to do it now, but I gotta get the two combacks delivered to Florida by Christmas. And
right.
You know?
So if you did it, would you do it? Adult size or child size?
Well, I think that'd be cool as an option.
Yeah.
One of both.
I almost might say adult size first. The scale might be a little easier to work. The child size might be a little tighter.
I've got an order that I haven't talked about yet. In January, I'm starting a continuous arm settee, three person with three seats. Three individual belt seats continuously. And I was assuming, talking to the customers, that they wanted it as a chair, like a, you know, a settee, you know, in front of your house somewhere. It's a 5 footer. It's a 5 foot piece that I've got an order for.
Sure.
And then he's emailing me and he says, how about we do it as a rocker? And I'm like, what? How am I going to do this? I got to figure out if he's serious, if I'm doing a settee.
So you're going to have at least three rockers on that.
Yeah, a middle rocker. Yeah.
A middle rocker, And then, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
It's like two chairs slammed together with a common middle at that point.
Yeah.
It has
there's
to be.
There's a person sitting in that middle one, too. I mean,
it's yeah.
A, yeah. Oh, yeah. Shoot. Maybe.
It's
maybe,
not that at all. It's going to be carved. Three carved out individual.
Three carved out seats in a big slab.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
That is interesting. I envision it a lot maybe thicker, beefier than it might end up. But like to me, like there's support issues going on there. Like there's a lot of questions.
That would be tough to get it to rock straight.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That would you be chasing. Yeah. Okay.
That's gonna be a long board with sandpaper on it, that's for sure.
Very a 6 foot long board with sandpaper on it.
Yeah, I'm almost saying that is there a way you can make it strong enough where you can only have two rockers
without
the middle rocker? Because
you could.
Because if you have the middle rocker, you're definitely going to have to make it shorter than the other two so it doesn't interfere with the person sitting there.
You'd have to put like stretchers underneath the seat to support the weight, you know, kind of thing. Beef it up a bit. But there's ways. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks.
A Windsor torsion box.
Yeah, Windsor torsion seat.
Don't carve too deep.
Don't carve those seats too deep. All right, so that's interesting. Everyone subscribe to the Instagram. I'm interested in that one. But before we let you go, gotta get to question five. How has the internet influenced your work?
Oh boy, you know what. There's two things that I thought about there. I mean, I've heard a lot of your people that come on and talk on your podcast about Instagram. And to me, I mean, I'm right there with you guys. So that's how I met, you know, you guys. I'm following you on Instagram.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what it's really helped me is learning. Like, I am connected to so many other chair makers across the world, right? Mm-hmm. And I can ask, and I do ask questions to them and comment on everything. And so the learning curve that I have in learning new ideas and coming up, because we're getting ideas from other people, you know, we have a problem to solve or something like that. Even like talking to you guys tonight about this big chair thing that I'm, or this settee I'm going to be doing, you know, we're picking each other's brain. Then on Instagram, you know, you see somebody do that, like, that's cool. I think I'd like to add that in my thing. And it's just the learning is awesome, just to be there and sharing as a group. And then the other thing is my website. I was doing a Google you know, kind of a free site. It was $12 or something to get your domain name and all that as a Google site originally for my website, and I liked it and it was fine and everything else, but it just didn't have all the tools and things I saw a lot of other people having with chair makers and stuff. And so I looked at who Curtis Buchanan was using, and I contacted the same guy that helped him do his. It's Kirk Roberts. And I contacted him, and this was over a year ago, and I spent a significant amount of time with him, collaborating with him, and putting together a website that I feel like is pretty awesome, you know, and usable, and it works for me and everything else. And so I invested, that's what I was trying to tell you, is I've invested into a website, a couple grand, you know, something like that to build this website and with him. And so consequently, I got orders last year. You know, the years before, I mean, I've got I got the stool orders from the website, and these two chairs that are going out this year is from the website, you know, for this Christmas. And so I don't know what to say other than, you know, and, you know, of course, YouTube and learning and everything else. So just like,
yeah, no, that's really good. I mean, especially the website bit, like, you know, building, you know, putting a brand out there for people to discover, however they might discover, you might get more from this episode when it airs. Like that's really cool that you're seeing that like increase in, you know, in orders. Like, I mean, it's like that's success in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, and learning along the way and all those other things, they're all building on what you're kind of doing,
right?
Yeah, that is cool. Yeah, and being able to you know, see that investment pay off. That's fantastic.
So, yeah, that's the big. Yes, huge.
Yeah, yeah. I need to do something like that too, instead of relying on what I do. But you know, someday, someday.
I've heard the term SEO, you know, thrown about.
Yeah.
Search engine optimization. Like, get your name out there to be when someone's looking for Windsor chairs. Let Bill be the first guy, or chair jigs be Kyle, or BB Custom the first thing that shows up. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, on my website, I don't get a lot of visits, but my visit to order percentage is like 95%. So it's like,
so that's like they know exactly what they're looking for.
Exactly, they're coming to my website to buy something. Usually, yes, yep. Exactly.
Not to see you, not to find out about you. They want to buy something.
Yeah, yeah. So that's nice. But anyway, so let's move on to where folks can find us on the interweb. So, Bill, where can folks find you?
You can find me at William Boyle Chairmaker on Instagram. WilliamBoyleChairmaker.com.
Fantastic. Brian, what about yourself?
Instagram is where you can find my work. It's Obst Woodworks. Obst is just simply OBST. Kyle, how about you?
You can always find me at Barton.Kyle or BB Custom Tools, BBCustomTools.com, or on YouTube under BB Custom Tools and Kyle Barton. Sean, what about yourself?
Per usual, you can find me at most social medias at SeanW78.
And that just about wraps it up for this show. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the show on the podcatcher of your choice. Just search for the Modern Woodworkers Association. And while you're there, please leave us a review. You can follow us on Instagram at MWA_podcast. And if you'd like to support the podcast, go over to patreon.com/MWA podcast. But the best thing you can do is tell a friend. Word of mouth goes a long way in sharing our discussion.